Chapter 4, give you a second to get there. I got junior church kids going over. Matthew chapter 4. Been doing a series on worship. This kind of continues on that theme. We looked at several people that had worshipful experiences when it came to God. We looked at Abraham, Isaiah, Jacob. I want to talk to you today about, the title is The Desire for Worship. The Desire for Worship. And I want you to, you may think of this from a different angle than what's going to come out. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' And then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' And then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service and for your word. Thank you for your salvation. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts today. Lord, and you know every need of every person here today. Lord, I pray you speak to us. Lord, transform us. Lord, we put the service into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, the desire for worship. You know, like I said, there's other people I mentioned that had a worshipful experience. Hopefully you've had one. And there's others in the Bible. But I want to talk to you about another aspect of worship today. And that here's an area right here where God and Satan both have something in common. And that is they both have a desire for worship. Both God and Satan have a desire for worship. Now the next logical question is why? Why does God want us to worship Him, and why does Satan want us to worship Him? You know, there's two different reasons. Of course, God, and this has been coming out, God desires our worship because, of course, number one, He's worthy of our worship. You know, He's the greatest. There's nothing any greater than God. He's worthy of all the worship that we can give Him. But also because of this, that God wants to transform us through worship. And I spoke to you about this last week probably, but you know, God, worshiping anything transforms the worshiper. I don't care what, you know, if it could be false worship or worship the wrong thing, worship transforms the worshiper. If you worship God, you're going to be transformed by God. You worship Satan, you will be transformed by Satan too, but it won't be the same transformation. You know, you become like whatever object you worship. And there's why God wants our worship. God wants to transform us, you know, for the good, for the better, not into anything bad or not anything evil. I mean, God loves us. God wants to transform us into the image of Christ. He wants us to make us more like Christ. There's nothing about Jesus Christ that's offensive. I mean, when you look at his life, everything about him, he wants to transform us that way. Satan, on the other hand, he desires our worship because he wants to destroy us. And the easiest way to do that is to get us to become a worshiper of him. God wants our obedience, our worship, and our service. Guess what? Satan wants the exact same thing. He wants our obedience. He wants our worship. He wants our service. Satan wants it for a different reason. But I want you to understand this. When we bow down to worship God, be sure Satan will attack you. You know, it never fails without fail. When we want to do something for God, if we're trying to really have a worshipful experience with God, listen, Satan doesn't like it. He's going to attack that. You try to serve God in any capacity. You try to draw closer to God, which that would be included in the worship experience. You try to draw closer. You try to read your Bible. You try to come to the services. You try to do anything for God and just try to have a greater relationship with God. Satan not going to sit on the sideline and say, okay, go ahead and do it. He gets on the offensive, you know, and you got to be ready for that. You've got to be ready for that because, but listen, if you're not doing anything for God, if you don't want a relationship with God, you can be sitting in this church today and don't have one care whatsoever about getting any closer to God or your relationship with God changing whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you, Satan will leave you alone. Amen. He already got you where he wants you. He doesn't have to mess with you. It's when you start to try to draw close to God, try to do something for God, realize, man, listen, I want to have a deeper relationship with God. Satan's going to be on you like white on rice. I mean, he's going to be on your back from that time forward. So be ready for that. I just got a few points today I want to share with us on how Satan attacks our worship of God and gets people to worship him. Pay close attention. Listen, people have fallen out of church like it's going out of style down through the ages. People that I know, I was sharing with a guy on the phone the other day. We were talking about people that we knew. I didn't even know this guy. He called me up and we did know somebody in common. And we talked about people that we knew, man, that they were serving God. I've shared with you before about a fella in our church back home. When I got saved, man, he sold his house, went off to Bible college, was going to preach the Word of God, came back home. God was opening doors and closing them like they were left and right. Bought his same house back when he got back from Bible college. Now, you tell me God wasn't in that. Got his house back on, bought his same house back. Man, got in there. Next thing you know, something, he got under a satanic attack, got discouraged, and guess what? He fell out of church completely. Now, he didn't just quit serving God. He fell out of church completely. I couldn't believe it. Scared me. Because I thought, man, if that guy, he was a humble, he cried every time he preached. He couldn't talk about the Lord without crying. I said, man, if that guy right there can fall out of church, I said, man, I know I can. I can fall away from God. And so it scared me. And there's been, listen, multitudes and multitudes of people that Satan has got them, buddy. He's got them to fall away from God. So I want you to see some things. Number one, the very first thing we'll see, and it has to do with our obedience. Our obedience. Look at verse 3. It said, when the tempter came, that's talking about Satan, the devil. It said, came to him, talking to Jesus. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now you think, well, you know, what's the big deal? Nothing wrong with bread, right? Huh? Nothing wrong with bread unless you're on a diet, and then it kind of messes with you. But there's nothing wrong with bread. And making, turning stones into bread, you can't see that as a sinful act of itself, except for this one thing. It was what Satan commanded him to do. I when I read that, I kind of chuckled to myself. There's Satan commanding Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to do something. You know? Huh? Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what Satan wants you to do. It doesn't matter one bit what he wants you to do. I don't care if it's a good thing, don't do it. Because what it is you're listening to Satan. Amen. And I got news for you. Satan is not going to give you any advice or have you do anything that's going to be good for you in the long run. It may look like, hey, you've been fasting 40 days, a little bit of bread might not be a bad deal. That's when he tempted him with it. Get you when you're weak. He says, make these stones into bread. The sin of it all would have been doing what Satan commands you to do. Just don't do it. You know, that's all you got to know. It doesn't matter. You know who wants me to do it? Oh, Satan does. I don't need to know what he wants me to do. I just need to know that he wants me to do it, and I'm not going to do it. And so that's the whole deal. See, there's no worship apart from obedience. And I tried to get that across the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about worship. You know, we can't say, listen, I'm going to worship God, but I'm going to be disobedient to you. It can't happen. It's opposite. And because, as I said, God's obedience and worship, God uses that. You know, why do we got to be obedient? Because God wants to transform you. Amen. Huh? Listen, if our lives were so great without God, we wouldn't be here to start with, right? You go ahead and try to live your life apart from God. Lots of people did. The prodigal son did. What happened? He come crawling back to the father's house, brother, because it was bad. I mean, you know, you can't let, you know, when you get away and, you know, you say, well, I can have a pretty good life. It'll be empty. It'll be empty. I don't care what you do. You can have $1 billion. It'll be empty in here because God made you that way. You got to be a worshiper of God to have everything that God has for you in life. And so, you know, God, obedience has to go together, and it transforms us always for the better. Now, Satan wants us to worship and have obedience to him because he wants to destroy it. An old prodigal son got that thought in his mind. Listen, I'm going to go out, give me all my inheritance. Boy, I'm going to go out, and he ripped and ran and had to eat, drink, and was merry and all that. And what happened? He blew his whole inheritance. That's what Satan wants you to do. Now you're poor, destitute. Man, you're out there, you do anything for a dollar. You know, Satan's got you where he wants you right there. Well, how does Satan go about getting us to be obedient? Number one thing, he tells us lies. He lies to us. You know, look at the world out here today that's believing lies. I can't get over, you know, what they're doing in the world right there. You know, when we look back at Adam and Eve, the first people that Adam and Eve approached, the very first thing he did, he got them to question God's word. He said, did God really say that? You know, and if you don't know the word of God, you know what you're doing? Well, I thought that's what he said. But maybe, you know, and we question ourselves sometime, right? Maybe he didn't say it that way. You know, somebody can put that little hint of doubt in your mind. Did God say that? Well, maybe. Oh, well, I'm not sure. You know how your mind goes. So now you're doubting God's word, right? You're not sure about it. The second thing he did was he get them to deny God's word. Satan said this. He said, look, because God had said, listen, you can eat of all the fruit in the garden. He said, but if you eat of this one fruit, you're going to die. Satan said, you're not going to die. You know, he's real confident, right? You're not going to die. So you think, what's going on with the Word of God today? All the things, listen, this whole world's going against the Word of God. And you know what they say? Well, it really don't matter. God didn't really say that. I got another version that says different. Yeah, you do, because Satan's attacking him version. Satan attacked the Word of God. You can find a version to fit about anything you want. He said, well, it doesn't really say that. That's not what God meant. But then, you know, I've had people that grew up in a church, man, come up through this church and say, look, this is what it says. You know what they say next? Well, I don't believe it. That's what they do. So then what you got to do, the next step is substitute God's word. You got to change it. See, that's what they do. And so, see, they said, he went on, and when Adam and Eve's case, and I know I didn't read that, he said, did God really say it? You're surely not going to die. Deny God's word. And then he said, God knows if you eat of this fruit, you're going to become like God. He substituted God's word for his word, right? And they didn't get sucked into it. It's step by step. A little doubt. Now a positive statement, you'll surely not die. And then, let me give you something that sounds just a little bit better. God knows if you eat of that fruit, you're going to become like God. And see, here's the whole deal. The battle that we have, you know, is with ourselves. It's us on the throne or God. And so what happened, he said, you're going to be like God. Well, I like that because I'm about a halfway God of myself anyway. I'm already ruling myself. I'm already telling myself what's right, what's wrong, what I'm going to do. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes, the Bible says. So we already like that because, you know, hey, I like to be God, right? Well, how are you doing with that? How's your little kingdom doing? Huh? You're making a mess out of it if you get right honest with it. That's what's happening. And so this is what he does. Satan's issue is pride. And it's man's problem too. When in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, when it's talking about the king of Babylon, but it also, it's a dual verse, a dual prophecy verse, talks about Satan too. And it says, Satan said in his heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit also upon the mount. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You notice how Satan was just, I'm going to do I, and I will. Well, you don't know. You know, my old Uncle Howard, one of my favorite relatives, Uncle Howard, he's my great uncle. He used to always say, well, you know, tomorrow we're going to do such and such, you know, if we live. He always said, if we live. Anybody have any relatives? If we live. I heard a story about that. This man and his wife, and the man always said, well, if we live, tomorrow we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. If we live, they get to heaven. Both of them die, they get to heaven. His wife looks over at him and says, well, at least now you don't have to preface everything you say with, if we live, you know, because they're already in heaven. Amen. So Satan said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do all these things. And that's pride. Look what he wanted to do. He wanted to ascend to heaven. He wanted to exalt his throne. He's going to sit upon the mount, ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. That's what he wanted. That was his whole problem. You know, when you look at Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Satan said, "I will, I will, I will." And Jesus said, "Thy will, thy will." There's a difference right there. Amen. Satan wants people's obedience. And I'm going to tell you something. He gets it. He gets it too. You know, man, today we question God's word. We deny God's word. We substitute God's word, substitute for God's word all the time. Listen, every person from Adam and Eve on down that listened to Satan substituted the truth of God for a lie. Every time that you say, "I know this is what God says, but I'm going to do this," you have substituted the truth with a lie. That's exactly what you've done. Romans 1:25 says, talking about people in general as the world goes, who change the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And listen, whenever people substitute the creature for the Creator, Satan is receiving worship that he's seeking. Now listen, that word creature there, that means this. Everything, there's God, and everything else is created. That word creature means created. So it's God and everything else. And I don't care, you know, whatever else you're worshiping. It's, you know, if you're not worshiping God, it's satanic. You know, you don't look at it like that, but that's really the way it is. And so we've substituted something. And look what people, you know, look at all the things. Maybe I'll say this later, I forget. But, you know, look at the things that people really worship today. Man, number one thing, you think, well, man, I don't have any. You know what one thing people worship? Pleasure. Man, I just want to have fun. That's what's on everybody's mind. Rip and run and have fun. And there's nothing wrong with it. Listen, God's not against having fun. But most of the fun the world's having today is leading into, you know, lasciviousness. You know, it's sin. You know, it's sin. But we worship that. Man, there's people I know, there's people that cannot worship God. They cannot come to the house of God because, man, they got to go have fun every cotton picking weekend. They got to do something that involves fun. That's what they live for. I lived like that before I got saved. Listen, I lived from Monday to Friday, and I was looking for Friday night to get there. And when Monday morning came around, I'm not real sure what happened all over the weekend. You know, people talk about having little goosebumps and all the hair stand on the back of their neck when they get saved. I had that happen before I got saved. Listen, man, I mean, I didn't know what happened. And then Monday rolled around. Guess what? I was hoping that Friday would hurry up and get there, man. Just going to work, man, living for the week. Why? Because what was going to happen on the week? We was going to have fun. I don't know if I had fun or not. You know? I don't know if it's all that much. Waking up on Sunday morning with your head big as a pumpkin and you got about 15 Tylenol and BC powders, man, and drinking eggs put down in stuff and all that to try to get feeling better. Is that fun? No, that's not fun. It wasn't fun. But we worship pleasure, money. You know why we worship money? So we can have more fun. If you couldn't have fun with it, why would you want it? I mean, you got to eat, right? But eating's fun too. So we worship pleasure, money, power. Some people are power freaks, man. I mean, they just want to be in a position of power. We worship that. Prestige, all the things that Satan tempted Jesus with, that's what it is. Every time you fall to that, you're worshiping, really worshiping Satan. Every time a person says, "I will," by denying God's word and doing their own will, they're really worshiping Satan. They're believing that lie that they can be their own God. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, preacher, this is what I believe." And I ask them, I say, why do you believe that? And it'll be an opposite of God's word, you know. And they'll say, "Well, you know, So I said, "So it's something that you thought up in your mind." I mean, I'm basing what I'm telling you on the word of God. I'm basing what I believe on the word of God. They'll say, "Well, you know, I just thought it," you know, they're not saying this, but this is how it's coming out. "I just thought it up. I'm the smartest man in the world. I just thought up my own religion. I just thought up my own God. I just thought up my own word. I mean, I thought it all up." They're not saying that, but that's really what they're saying. They're telling me some belief that's apart from the word of God. Where did it come from? Out of their brain. Anybody had their IQ checked lately? Anybody in here a genius and we just didn't know about it yet? I mean, I know I'm close, but I mean, anybody ever had, you know what, our IQs aren't that great. we're going to say we thought it up in our mind? I mean, really, think about that. Listen here, the character of our worship depends on the condition of our heart. You know, Cain and Abel, they both came to worship God. I didn't talk about them. And they came to the altar to worship. And God had told them how to do it. But you know what happened? God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. You know why? Because he didn't do what God said. He did what he wanted to do. He was his own God. God said, listen, you got to bring me the firstlings of the flock without blemish, without spot. That's all you have to do. Go out there. You got a zillion lambs. Find a real nice one. There's nothing wrong with it. You offer that to God. Cain said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to worship God. And a lot of people come and they want to worship God their way and not God's way. They're doing the same thing. Cain said, I'm not going to do that. I grew all these real nice vegetables. And I'm sure they look good. Garden of Eden, man, I mean, crying out loud, if you couldn't grow a vegetable there, even a brown thumb could grow one in there. They got all these nice-looking vegetables. He brought some real nice-looking vegetables. He brought and said, look at this, God, this is what I want to give to you. God said, no, I'm not going to accept it because that's not what I said. And he said, all you got, he goes, go back. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, I know. God basically said, go back, take it back, bring the right sacrifice, I'll accept it. Cain said, no. And then because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, Cain got mad about it, got jealous. Guess what? He killed his own brother, murdered him. You know what the Bible says about the devil? You know what he is? He's a murderer. That's what it is. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He's a thief. Man, he robbed Adam and Eve of one of their sons. He was a murderer. He took his own brother's life. He was a thief. He stole all the joy and all they could have had as a family. Destroyed a family. Where did that come from? Huh? Came from, he didn't believe in God. So we see our obedience is required. Our worship. You see in verse 9. Look at this. This is a neat verse. Verse 9 says, this is the devil talking to Jesus, and saith unto him, all these things. This is after he took him on top of the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now the verb in verse 9 indicates this, that it's a single act of worship. All Satan wanted from Jesus, he didn't say, listen, I want you to fall down and worship me from now on. He said, I just want this one single act of worship from Jesus. That was it. That's how slick he is. Satan's religion is a religion of substitutes. And this is what he says. Worship anything, anybody, but God. See, that's it. Satan, listen, in a sense, he's not really saying, listen, you got to worship me, the person where you got to, I don't know what you'd have. I guess you'd have to go check with people that do this sort of thing. But, you know, I'm just picturing in my mind, you know, something dark, something with fire, something with, you know, I don't know what, you know, and there it is. He's not saying you got to do that. Just go ahead and worship money. Go ahead and worship pleasure. Go ahead and worship all the other things of the world. Worship your car. Worship your motorcycle. Worship whatever you got. You know, your golden calf of some. That's what he did with the Israelites. He just, you know, he got them to doubt in God's word. They worried about what's going on the mountain. They made a golden calf, stuck it out there, said, we're going to worship this golden calf. And they started what? They started, you know, getting lewd. And, you know, that's what happens when you get away from God. He got the worship. All you got to do is worship anything else. And you know what? Satan will leave you alone because you're not worshiping God. He doesn't have to mess with you. He's got you where you want. Look what he tempted Jesus with. He had tempted him back there. He'd been fasting 40 days. He said, listen, how about making these into bread? I mean, that was a good suggestion, wasn't it? That's a temptation of food, a lust of the flesh. You can imagine you've been fasting 40 days and with some, you know what hot bread smells like? How many of you like smell hot bread? Can you imagine? I fasted one time 7 days. On the sixth day, Sherry fried bacon in the kitchen. Man, it was like the old cartoon with the little smoky little arm that went out with a finger that was going like this. And I had planned like to hold out till Easter. And that was the next day. It was like a little finger saying, come on. But I gritted my teeth, man. I held out. Huh? He said, make these into bread. And, you know, so that was the lust of the flesh. He said, listen, I'll set you up on the pinnacle of the temple, the pride of life. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, the lust of the eyes, and also the pride of life. You know, and the glory of them. Like I said, man, people are substituting worship of God with success, security, honor, position, pleasure. All those things are substitutes for worshiping God. And you know, Satan pays for worship. and God doesn't. You know what Satan said to God about Job? God said to Job, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Man, how he serves me and a few other things. And Satan said, yeah, I considered him. And he said, look, yeah, he worships you because, he said, you got a hedge about all that he owns and I can't get to him. And so because you're doing something for him, he's worshiping you. And God said, oh, yeah? He said, you think that's why he's worshiping me? I'll tell you what, you can take everything he's got, you can't take his life. And I'm going to tell you what, Satan went after him with a vengeance, buddy. He lost all of his children in a single day. He lost all of his cattle, all of his servants, his house fell in. He lost all that. Then he lost his health. Man said he had boils on the top of his head and the bottom of his feet. You ever had a boil, man? You can imagine, one's bad enough. He said he had boils on the top of his head, the bottom of his feet. Man, he took it all from him. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I worship him. Though he slay me, man, or sir, he might have used the word serve, but it'd be the same. He said, Satan didn't understand it, see, because he didn't have a concept of worship, like paying for the worship. Ruthie said she found a quarter out there in the parking lot. I told her we was putting quarters, putting money in all the parking places so when trying to draw people to church. I was just kidding. You couldn't get them to come. You could put $100 bills out there. We'd have the same side crowd we got right now. You couldn't get them to do it. But, he thinks you got to pay him. You got to pay him to do that. You know, them old three Hebrew children, I love those guys. Man, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, you got to bow down and worship this golden image. And they said, nah, we're not bowing down and worship this golden image. Here it is, man. It's the battle. It's God and Satan, right? That's satanic. Bow down and worship this image. Fill in the blank. It don't have to be a golden image. It's something else besides God. Fall down and worship it. They said, nah, we're not going to fall down and worship it. And King said, listen, we're gonna have a fiery furnace. We're going to throw you in there. And they said, I want you to think about it. You know what? I love what they said. He said, we don't have to think about it. It don't matter whether God delivers us from this or not. He said, we are not bowing down and worship that image. And he said, if God doesn't save us from this situation right here, he will deliver us from the whole thing, because as from the body present with the Lord, they didn't have that verse, but we do. As from the body present with the Lord, they said, we're going to be delivered one way or the other. It don't matter. We don't got to think about it, King. The Bible said, boy, they jacked up the fire 7 times hotter than it ought to be. Said it was so hot that the guys that took them down there to throw them in, they bound them up with ropes. They went down there to throw them in the furnace. It slew them. It was so hot. But then old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he said, man, didn't we throw 3 in there? He said, yeah. He said, I see 4. There's 4 walking around in there. One looks like the Son of Man, Son of God. It was Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ himself. And I want you to know something. They had a worshipful experience. They were walking around, and you imagine they walking in, it says that it burned the ropes off and of them, but didn't singe their hair or nothing, didn't hurt. And they're walking around in a fiery furnace, and Jesus is walking around with them. Can you imagine that, man? They were shouting hallelujah, boy. I mean, you know, shout to the Lord we were singing. I mean, they were shouting to the Lord. They had a worshipful experience. Why? Because they were obedient to God. And they didn't listen to the lies that Satan had given to them. Man, I mean, this was a great thing. Listen, we get in trouble. You know, I like the fact they said, we don't have to think about it. You and I will get in trouble when we think outside the Word of God. That's the great thing about, I mean, it's not, you know, you can think and meditate and dwell. I'm not saying that, but, you know, God lays it out pretty simple. He said, listen, this is what to do. Just do this. We don't have to think. When we start thinking, did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? You know, listen, God says what he means. We don't have to, you know, God didn't mean that. Well, why didn't God say what he meant? God said what he meant. When we start thinking outside the Word, we get run into a problem. I'll tell you, I love the fact that they worship God. And then we see our service. This is the last thing. Satan didn't ask the Lord. If you notice that, he just said, fall down, worship me, worship me, worship me. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to give you some things. But he didn't ask for the Lord's service, but Satan knew that whatever people worship, they serve. Whatever they worship, they serve. I imagine if the golden calf, if they had kept that golden calf, them Hebrew children, long enough, that somebody would have been out there, there'd have been like a committee, or there'd have been a rotation, and they'd have been polishing on that old calf. Somebody's job would have been polish that thing, keep it looking good. They would have served that thing. And one day, you know what? Satan didn't ask the Lord for service, and Jesus didn't worship him or serve him. But you know what? One day Satan's going to make the same offer that he made to Jesus, and it's going to be accepted. And that man's going to become a world leader, and the Scripture calls him the man of sin, the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that worshipeth, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Huh? That's the Antichrist is going to come on. There's going to be somebody that's going to accept that offer that Jesus gave. Listen, Satan hates the church, which means he hates us. He hates God's people. He hates those who worship Jesus Christ. And he's on the attack. Always on the attack. Why does Satan hate us so much? Why does Satan hate God? I'll tell you why Satan hates the church, hates God's people. Our worship hinders Satan's work. Our worship defeats his plans. And our worship robs him of territory that he could have, people that he could get. And as long as a church, listen, if a church isn't worshiping God, that's one of the reasons I've been preaching about worshiping God, just to make sure that we do it right. You know, if a church doesn't worship God in spirit, Satan's happy. Listen, you can come here till you're blue in the face and sit here and listen to me preach and sing songs. As long as it doesn't transform your life, he don't care. He don't care. As long as you come in here and sit like a bump on a log and go back out the same way you came in, week out, he don't care. Huh? He won't bother us. He'll leave us alone. He's happy about that. But all he can do, listen, is tempt us. He can't make us worship him. And you know how you defeat Satan? Look here. Here it is. This old coffee-stained pages messed up. My little thing is falling apart there to mark my pages with. The Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. You got the Word of God right here, man. Listen, the Word. Got it right here, man. Somebody needs to know how to get saved. I got it. I got it right here. Let me show you. Let me show it to you. Huh? It's important. We defeat Satan with the Word of God, and also we defeat him with our worship of God. Let me ask you this. How's your worship? How's your worship today? You really have a relationship with Jesus? You know, you can't really worship Jesus Christ without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And man, listen, I mean, you know, we need to work on that relationship. Man, that's the most important thing in our life. Let me ask you, how's your relationship with Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him for forgiveness of your sin? Have you really trusted him to come? And you know what? Listen, right now, if you hadn't done that, Satan's sitting right there on the other shoulder saying, don't do it. Don't go up there when they give invitation in front of all them people. You know what he'll say? He might not even say, don't do it. He's a little slicker than that. You know what he'll say? Wait. Just wait. Oh, got the mic on here. Wait. Just wait. Don't do it today. Wait for another opportunity. Because he knows another opportunity may never come. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.